Our scripture reading tonight comes from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for them there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table, or at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this anointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the large crowd of Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only to account for him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away believing in Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, some of you might know I've been in the process of moving. I say that because I have moved, but if you've ever moved before, sometimes you wonder, how did you get this much stuff? I mean, we went through it, cleaned things out, and there's still items I'm finding going, where is this going to fit? Why do we still have it? And yes, a lot of it is my stuff. But Marie Kondo, and I'm sorry if I mispronounce it, some of you might have heard about her. She wrote 4 books on organizing. Collectively, she has sold over 30 million copies. It's been translated in several different languages. And her 2011 book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, The Japanese of Art, Decluttering and Organizing, has been published in more than 30 countries. She is so popular that in 2015, Time magazine named her one of the 100 most influential people in the world. She obviously had a niche, and probably still does to this day, for people who are surrounded by so much complexity and clutter. It's like the story of the father who was teaching his 3-year-old daughter the Lord's Prayer. She would repeat line by line after him until finally he decided to let her go on her own. As he listened with pride, he carefully listened to her enunciate each word right up till the end. "Lead us not into temptation," she prayed, "and deliver us from email." Complexity and clutter. Marie Kondo's method of organizing is known as, and again I apologize if I mispronounce this, but Con Maria, the method. It consists of gathering all your belongings into a category at one time, and then keeping only the things that bring you sparks of joy. In the Japanese word tokamiku, tokamiku means flutter, throb, or sparks of joy. And who doesn't need simplicity? Who doesn't need a little decluttering? Who doesn't want some sparks of joy? This Lent, we've been meeting witnesses of Christ. This is through John's Gospel, and tonight John introduces us to the Marie Kondo of the Bible. Who could this be? It's Mary. Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Mary, who helps us simplify and declutter. Mary, who helps us to experience the tekamiku, the joys of the sparks of joy. But how does Mary do this? Well, she replaces get with give, and that's it. Get with give, pretty simple. Only clutter, getting only clutters, getting only confuses things. Get only makes us miserable. Get ahead, get back, get even, get more. Whatever you do, get revenge. Mary replaces get with give. Mary gives freely, gives extravagantly. Mary gives joyfully. So are you maybe stuck in an emotional rut? Have you lost your zest or your zeal? You don't want to be have kind of life again? Do you want sparks of joy? Well, replace get with give. And here's the context. In John 11, Lazarus dies. And after 4 days of being in the tomb, he's starting to smell pretty bad. Jesus stands in front of the tomb and weeps, but he shouts, "Lazarus, come out!" Lazarus comes out, stumbling out of the tomb alive, and he's wrapped in a shroud, kind of like a cocoon. As for the Jewish leaders, this is the last straw. By raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus moves from the category of the marginal nuisance to a category of serious threat. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Christ's days are numbered. And we come to John 12. Jesus has a price on his head, so does Lazarus. The chief priests make plans to put Lazarus to death, as well as because of the account of him, many Jews are going around believing in Jesus. We must destroy Jesus, and we must destroy all the evidence. That means we must destroy Lazarus. That's the context. Here's the cost. Mary, therefore, took and poured expensive ointment made of nard and anointed the feet of Jesus, and then wiped it with her hair. Smells are powerful. Maybe you can remember the smell of roses that catches your nose. You suddenly remember those flowers you gave to Dayton High School. Or maybe it's the scent of your grandmother's perfume, and memories of her start coming flooding back to you. Our words do the thinking part, our brain. The smells do the emotional part. That's why a whiff of grandma's perfume brings back emotions of grandma. Smells still in some more powerful emotions. But something I didn't think about before until I looked at the sermon for tonight. Think about this for a second. Mary's strong perfume lingers with Jesus throughout Holy Week. So as he makes his way to the cross, even on Good Friday, the fragrance that Mary has still lingers. And then perhaps when Jesus himself completely all of his love and mercy and grace hold nothing back for us, he might still faintly smell the sweet fragrance, a reminder that Mary had marked him with one word, give. Both Matthew 26:13 and Mark 4:9 state, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done with will always be told in her memory. And why is that? Well, because the kingdom of God isn't about hoarding or stockpiling. The kingdom of God isn't about being chintzy or cheap. The kingdom of God is about get. Get will kill us. Isn't about get, sorry, but get kills us, always and forevermore. God's kingdom is about one thing, and that is give. Give? Well, then what? It's the sparks of joy. It is blessed to give than to receive. Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, shows us that the kingdom of God is about giving lavishly, giving generously, giving joyfully, and giving completely. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in the memory of her. Jesus never says this about anyone else. Thanks to Mary, you can boil down life as a child of God to one simple word, one powerful, life-changing word. Take it out, and it will change everything. It will create us so much joy. The word you know is give. Amen.